I recall the words of Russ Goodman, who was a great, great gospel songwriter, came from the Happy Goodman family. He penned a song before he died. It was called "This World Is Not My Home." He said, "I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." And the title of the song was, "I Just Can't Feel at Home in This World Anymore." Praise God. This is our temporary home. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13. And I want to begin reading at verse 26. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Numbers 13, beginning at verse 26. Excuse me, verse 25, I'm sorry. Numbers 13, verse 25. "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, 'We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan.' And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The Lord, through which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight.'" And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of "we are well able to overcome it." Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit here today. Lord, I thank you for your presence. And I ask, Lord, that you would anoint my words today to be a blessing to your people, to strengthen them and to uplift them. And Lord, I ask for fresh faith to be poured into every heart and soul that's here today. Lord, I ask that you'll give us spiritual eyes to see our situations from the God that we serve. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I've been reading a lot recently about President Harry S. Truman. He's a great, great character to study in biblical history. I've shared with you in time past, of course, about how he was instrumental in bringing about Israel as a nation, putting the approval of the United States of America on the new formed nation of Israel in 1948. And I believe his election in 1948, as really all world leaders, was ordained by God. It's God who puts leaders up and puts leaders down, not man. And during that 1948 election, which was probably, I believe, I should have checked it, but I believe it was the closest election in American history, as Thomas E. Dewey, running against Harry S. Truman, fought vehemently for the office of the presidency of the United States. And much of the media and much of the people, it was thought, were for Thomas E. Dewey. Because Truman had become very unpopular because of his decision to drop the atom bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. that killed millions of people, those bombs did, but it saved millions of American boys' lives who would have had to go into Japan and fight a conventional warfare. During that night of the election, the media, which despised Harry S. Truman and was certain of his impending defeat, before the election was over, they began to print the next morning's newspapers with the headline, "Dewey Defeats Truman." As the election wore on into the wee hours of the morning and the votes being counted, finally at about 5 o'clock in the morning, the results came in. And Harry S. Truman had won the election. There's a famous photograph of Harry S. Truman the very next morning as he addressed Congress after winning the presidency in 1948, holding up a newspaper that says, "Dewey defeats Truman," on its headline. I believe it was the New York Times, actually. "Dewey defeats Truman." I tell you that story because I don't know what you're going through this morning. And I don't know what voice of hell may be speaking to you, but I can guarantee you this. It's telling you you're defeated. It's telling you that you can't make it. It's telling you that you're never going to go through. That's how you know the voice of the enemy. He's already written a headline over you, and he thinks he has you defeated. But praise God, if your faith is in Jesus Christ and what he did for you at the cross, you are more than a conqueror in him. God's got another headline written over your head. And it says, "This is my son and my daughter, and they are victorious in me." Hallelujah. They are never defeated. Glory to God. Oh, I feel that this morning. Oh, glory to his name. You see, we choose faith. We can choose to believe God or we can choose not to believe God. And many times, in the church particularly, the sin of unbelief is the greatest sin that's committed. I want that to sink in for just a moment. I said the sin of unbelief is the greatest sin that's committed. God has promised to be a friend that sticks, Jesus has promised to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's promised he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. And like the old song says, "His eyes on the sparrow, why do we worry? Why do we despair?" Because we are the children of the Most High God, who has told us in the book of Romans that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Oh, hallelujah. There's no defeat in the child of God. I don't care what kind of headline Satan has told you and what kind of a mantra he's chanted to you. You are never defeated as a child of God. I don't care what the external situation looks like. There is no defeat for the child of God. If that child of God will choose to believe God. You see, Israel as a nation had seen so mightily the hand of God move for them to deliver them from Egyptian bondage. Something I want you to take note of this morning. It took God 40 days, approximately, to get Israel out of Egypt. It took him 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. I want you to think about that for a moment. They came out with those Egyptian customs and those Egyptian thoughts, and the Lord had to rid them of all that junk that they had taken in Egypt. He had to get that unbelief and that false worship system out of them. It's a type of the believer's sanctification after coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. He so quickly and so easily saves us and cleanses us. But my, that sanctification process, if we don't learn to live right before God, and we don't learn how to live for God, we're doomed like Israel to wander around for 40 years. But God finally got it out of them. But this story we read this morning is of that generation that would not believe God in spite of his mighty miracles on their behalf. They saw the Red Sea parted. They saw water spring forth from rocks. They had manna on the ground every morning to feed them. They had seen God send them quails. And now they stand on the precipice of the greatest inheritance that any nation on the face of the earth has ever seen, as they stand on the edge of going into the promised land, of inheriting all that God had set aside for them. At the command of the Lord, Moses sent out 12 spies into the land, the promised land, that God had told them, look upon, it's already yours. I've already given it to you. You just have to go in and possess it. He said, the Lord told him, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Now you may think, well, what does that mean? In essence, it means it was a land that was rich and fertile and would provide them with more than enough and everything they would ever need for subsistence and to provide for them in every way. That's what it meant. And he said, it's there. It's yours for the taking. For I have given it already unto you. You just have to go in and possess it. The 12 spies went in. They searched out that land for 40 days. And they came back saying it's everything that God said it would be. But there's giants there. I want you to think about that for a moment. What giant is there in your life that has you scared to death this morning? What is looming around you that's telling you that you're defeated and you'll never get to where God wants you to go? I'm telling you, you must choose faith. Choosing to believe God is an act of the human will and the human spirit and the human soul. And you can choose faith, and faith always looks from God's perspective at the situation. Faith never looks from man's perspective at the situation. For when the 12 spies came back to report on the land, they said, it's everything God said it was, but there's giants there. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. This was Israel. This was the people of God. My Lord, let me stop and preach. I don't know where you are this morning, but let me tell you this. Your God is well able to overcome whatever giant is in front of you. How many times has He proven His mighty power to you and showed you that I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think? I am your God. I send my Son to go to the cross for you. I have redeemed you. I have filled you with my Holy Spirit. I have anointed you. Nothing can stand before you as my child because I am in you. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But with all of this knowledge of God's miracles, 10 of the spies come back and say, we can't do it. Do you realize how evil unbelief is in the sight of God, especially when He's promised something? Israel was about ready to walk in to their great inheritance. And then they look at the situation around them and say, from man's perspective, it can't be done. We can't do it. That was an affront to Almighty God. Do you know what they were telling God? Yes, Lord, it's everything you said it was. But you're not able to get us in there. You're not able to get us into this land. It's everything you promised. But you can't do it. Wow. What a thing to tell Almighty God. And it's a sin that's easily to slip into if we don't watch. The Lord's got some victory. He's got your victory parade already planned, if you'll choose to believe Him this morning. And whatever's facing you, God's already got your victory parade planned. But you must, as a believer, choose to view the situation from God's perspective and say that my God is able to overcome any situation, any person. He's bigger than drug addiction. He's bigger than anything in this planet. And He has all power and all authority. And your God, Jesus Christ, will help you if you'll believe Him. Hallelujah. He's got great things planned for you as His child. But you must choose to believe Him. 10 of these spies came back with what the Bible calls an evil report. It was evil from God's perspective because in their report, 10 of them said, it can't be done. You know something? As believers in Jesus Christ, many times we're going to be in the minority report, where the majority is going to be saying, it can't be done. There's no way it can be done. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. There's something about unbelief that so infects the soul and the spirit of man, and it spreads like a wildfire throughout Israel. There's giants over there. We can't go in. God's not able to do for us what He said He would do. My Lord, that's evil in His sight. There's nothing more evil in the sight of God than not believing Him and not trusting Him. But the Bible says in the midst of all of this panic that had spread through Israel because of the report, because of the majority report, two men stand up, Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb announces to the nation of Israel, you've got to see this. God, here, if you don't get nothing else out of what I'm saying this morning, I pray God you get this. He will always honor faith. Hallelujah. He will always honor faith. I don't care how weak and stumbling it is. If it's faith, He'll honor it. If it's faith placed in Him. I don't care what your situation this morning and how many giants you may be facing. If you'll step out and say, my God is able in the name of Jesus, I don't know how and I don't know when, but He's brought me through before. He's brought me through many times in the past. And I'm not going to look at the majority report where Satan has written my doom and written my defeat. I am going to choose to believe my God who tells me I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Joshua and Caleb stood up, and specifically Caleb begins to speak and still the people. And you got to love this. You got to love this. Caleb says, we're well able to take the land. That's God's message to this church. I don't care what it looks like externally. Hallelujah. God's got a harvest for this church, and it's going to get reaped. It's going to get reaped. God's got blessing coming for this church. It's here right now. Linda's already testified of it. I'm telling you this morning, I have heard from Almighty God. And I don't say that lightly, church. I'm so sure as what I'm telling you this morning as I was the day I received the message of the cross. God has given me some specific instructions to implement in this church. You must evaluate what I'm telling you and see if it lines up with the Word of God or not. If it does not, you have to make a choice. But I want you to know this morning, Crossway Community Church, I'm telling you, based on the authority of God's Word, it's our time for a harvest, and we are well able to take the land. We've got the right message. We've got the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And you can look at everything else going on if you want to and miss out on one of the biggest blessings you'll ever receive. That's what God's getting ready to do in this church. It necessitates change. You see, the evil in what these spies did was they looked at everything, totally from man's perspective. Now you look at this little weak and stumbling bunch, which is what we are in our flesh. From man's perspective, we ain't got much going on. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He's going to anoint us. He's going to anoint everybody who will believe for the together in the harvest. He's going to anoint everybody who will stand up and say, Lord, I believe You've got a harvest for my family. I believe my lost sons and daughters are going to come in. I'm believing that, Lord, my lost loved ones are going to find Jesus. Some of them that are backslidden are going to come home to the Lord. Hallelujah. It's going to happen, church. It's going to happen. And you can choose to get mad over pettiness and over things that somebody said and miss focus on that and miss out on some of the greatest blessing you've ever known. Hallelujah. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming, glory to God. And the Lord told me this week, he said, you go after me. Church, you ought to know me well enough by now to know one thing. If there's nobody left here but me and my family, when God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow it with all of my soul, with all of my strength, because I know he don't tell you to do something unless he's taking you somewhere. And more times than not, when God is in it, all hell's going to come against it. Satan's going to whisper lies in people's ear. He's going to get them focused from man's perspective on what's going on, because he don't want to see your families blessed. He doesn't want to see your lost loved ones come in. He would prefer that you major in a minor and focus on some pettiness and miss out on entering in to the promised land he's got for you as an individual. But Caleb stood up and stilled the people and said, we're well able to take the land. I wish I could tell you. All Israel listened to him. None did. I want you to think the magnitude of what I'm telling you. More than likely, there's about 7 million people. And 6,999,098 of them wouldn't believe that God could take them where he said he was going to take them. Two of them stood up and said, God can do it. Joshua and Caleb. God takes this sin of unbelief very, very seriously. And please don't misunderstand. I am not suggesting that you blindly follow anything I say. Quite the contrary. You must judge it spiritually and evaluate it spiritually by the Word of God. I want you to do that. I want you to bear witness with what I preach if it's of God and the direction that God is leading me to go. I've been your pastor now, many of you, for 8 years or more. I've never been perfect. Won't claim to be. But I want to ask you a question. Where have you been led spiritually? Has your life been enriched spiritually by what you've heard me preach? Have you been led in the right direction spiritually? Satan would love to have you get mad over pettiness. And I don't want to re-preach the message I preached a few weeks ago, but I know if I've ever preached a message to a church in my life, it was this one. Because we're getting ready to go into the promised land. We're getting ready to inherit some great blessings from Almighty God. And Satan would love to have people miss out on that. And miss out on the great blessing of God. Two people stood up, Joshua and Caleb, and said, we're well able to take this land. We can do it. Crossway, we can do it. God's calling us to do it. There's a harvest coming to this church. But it breaks my heart to think that some, like most of Israel, are going to look at everything from man's perspective without taking the time to bend a knee and ask God to evaluate what they're hearing. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two men out of everyone living at this time who entered into the promised land. I want you to think of that. 7 million people probably. And only two. And I want you to see this. God always honors faith. I'm not asking you to put faith in this pastor. I'm asking you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, I've heard from God. He's got a harvest coming from this church. And it necessitates that we think differently and we act differently and we begin to look at ourselves from God's perspective. And God's perspective, with us having our faith as a body anchored in the cross of Jesus Christ, tells me that we're well able to take the land. We're well able to take the land. And I'm not foolish enough to believe that everybody's going to go there with us. I love everybody in this church, but I'm here to tell you we're going after God. And you better pray for me. I need to hear from God. You better pray for me as your pastor. I need to hear from God. But I'm telling you, I've been on my face before him all week long, and he's told me, you follow me, you go after what I'm telling you to do with all of my heart. He said, I'll try to deal with people, I'll try to make them understand what I'm doing, but if they harden their heart, you go on for me. You go on for me. Church, when I came to Springfield and began to preach the message of the cross, it cost me dearly. The Lord told me then, you keep going on. You keep going on. And He's blessed me. He's held me up. He's kept His hand on me through many danger, toil, and snare. And He reminded me on Friday morning about 11:15. I am the Lord your God. You don't have a man over you anymore. There's no overseer for nobody to call. If somebody's got a problem with what you're preaching and the direction I'm leading you to do, He said, you stand up on Sunday morning and tell them to call your overseer. Give his name and address. And if you've got a problem with what I'm preaching and the direction I'm going, call my overseer. His name is Jesus Christ. His address is heaven. Hallelujah. I'm going to get my harvest. I want you to get your harvest. But if you do or if you don't, I can't help that. I'm going on in. I'm pressing on in. I'm following God. I'm going to see people baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to see salvations come. I'm going to see those that will remain with Jesus Christ and believe Him for a mighty move. We're going to see our family saved and healed and delivered. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let man's perspective hinder me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was so down. I was so down on Friday morning. I was ready to throw this towel in and say, Lord, I'll go evangelize. You seem to bless me there. I'm more of an evangelist anyway, I think. One problem with that, though. I got to do what He tells me to do. Because I know if I don't, I'm in big trouble. Oh, there's things I personally would like to do, yeah. But I got to do what He tells me to do. And He reminded me, you answer to me. You don't answer to man anymore. I delivered you from that. And I've got a harvest for you to reap. And you know what? The Lord's going to give it to me because I'm believing Him for it. If nobody else believes with me, I don't care. God's going to send people into this church that are going to have talents and abilities and teachers. We're going to have a Sunday school. I believe we're going to get a new church building. I believe God is going to open doors of blessing like we've never seen before. Hallelujah. I'm believing Him for it. He's told me, believe me big. And I'm doing it. Hallelujah. And Satan would love to have us major in minors and have us focus on inconsequential events. Well, here we go. Somebody this week, several, I guess, have accused me of trying to quench the Spirit. I'm not trying to quench the Spirit. I'm trying to quell the flesh. I'm not trying to quench the Spirit. Let me tell you something. Electricity is a very, very good thing. As long as it's used within certain parameters. If what I have suggested to some of the church this week is quenching the Spirit, then the Apostle Paul quenched the Spirit. The Apostle Paul quenched it. Go read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 when he said, let the prophet speak two or three, then let the others judge. In other words, don't let everybody get up and go on all day in the church service. Let God move, yes. But he said, does everybody have a psalm? Does everybody have a prayer? No. Order is of the Holy Spirit. And to order a service in the right way is not quenching the Spirit. Somebody said, maybe several. You're trying to turn our church into just like Brother Swaggart's church, Family Worship Center, down in Louisiana. Guilty as charged. I've been down there before. I think a man who's won 5 million souls to the Lord and has founded a worldwide TV network and whom I've said in multiplicity of his services and felt the power of God flow like I've rarely felt it anywhere else, I think we can learn something about how to conduct a church service from somebody like that. No, I don't want us to be exactly like them, but we can glean and learn. We're never too big. Let me tell you, change is always going to be going on. We must evolve and grow in the Lord. If we don't, we stagnate and unbelief sets in. And we become happy and complacent with where we are when God's got great things ahead for us. It's coming. You got to, you as a believer, I love you with all my heart. I'm not saying this to be dramatic. There's many of you sitting under the sound of my voice. You don't know what it costs to bring you this message of the cross. Personally, to me and my family. You'll never know till we get to glory what it costs to get this message to you. And Paul told the church at Galatia, the one he had founded, he said, at one time you would have plucked your eyes out for me. He said, am I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I'm telling you the truth this morning. You have to evaluate it. You have to judge it. I'm not asking you to blindly accept what I'm saying, but I think many of you bear witness with what I'm saying this morning. God's got a harvest coming for this church. He has not sent this message to Springfield, Ohio, just to sit here and do nothing with it, and for us to sit and do nothing with it. And I'm going to tell you, this church, you may run me out of town on a rail, but I'm going to tell you something. When we come into these four walls, to anybody who God sends us, they're going to look and they're going to see the power of God. And they're going to see the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And they're going to see order in this service. Hallelujah. And that's not quenching the Spirit. That scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, which says, quench not the Spirit. It has nothing to do with gifts of the Spirit. Let me get very specific for just a moment. If somebody's about to get up and sing a song, and God wants to use them in a gift of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, you all ought to know me well enough by now to know I want and I desire that. What I don't want is a 40-minute soliloquy of how their week went and why they selected that song. It don't bless nobody. You missed a good chance to say amen. Stand and sing that song under the mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost and trust in Him and watch what He'll do in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And I don't ask much. I don't recall I've ever asked anything of y'all as pastor. Really. And this Wednesday night I asked what I felt was some very simple things. And my Lord, some acted like I'd renounced the cross. It's pettiness. What I ask of you as your pastor was of God. Now, I may have not said it the prettiest and the kindest, and maybe it wasn't sugar-coated because I was in a hurry. I was trying to take care of your time. The hour was late, but I'm here to tell you, Satan would love to use something like that to get you to say, well, my feelings are hurt. My Lord, there's people around this world taking stripes on their back for to preach this gospel. And because I said I don't want you to talk 20 minutes before you sing, you want to say, well, pastor's quenching the Spirit. Well, he's wanting the praise team to look nice. Not that you don't look nice now, but it looks good to have a uniform praise team up here. And I said we'd buy the clothes. This church will buy them. My Lord, church, I'm making a point here. And it is correction, and it's hard, and your flesh is probably going to burn. But you better listen to what thus saith the Lord. He's got a harvest for you. Don't miss out on it over pettiness and foolishness. What I ask as pastor had nothing to do with anything spiritual, really. It had everything to do with the order of our service and preparing for this harvest. And the day, I'm here to tell you, the days of us viewing ourselves, or me allowing us to view ourselves as just some namby-pamby, lackadaisical bunch who can't get anything done from God for God are over. Because we're well able to take the land. We're well able to take the land. And God's going to help us to do it. If there's only two left that'll stand up and say, we're going to believe God for a harvest, I have every confidence He's going to take those two and He'll fill this church with people that need delivered, that need saved, that need healed. My Lord, you said on the message of the cross for 8 years now. Grow up! Grow up! God's got something great for us to do. We can take the land. We can take the land. And specifically for this church, God's got great blessing for us. I'm going to get the harvest. I'm going to get the harvest. And I know there's some of you that's believing with me. Don't let Satan cause you to miss out over pettiness and foolishness. I'm going to say one more thing before I start to close. I had a handkerchief somewhere. I've been your pastor for 8 years. How many times in the middle of the night have you called me and I've been there for you? And I haven't turned you away. No matter what your problem, I've prayed with you and I've been there. And you'll turn on me because I asked you not to go on before you sing a solo, or because I asked you to maybe wear a suit of clothes that the church is going to pay for you. I know this is ugly, but the flesh is ugly. But you better not listen. You better be careful who you listen to. Because there are voices in this church right now that don't love you, that don't have your best interest at heart. They're wanting to aggrandize themselves and puff their flesh up and show how powerful and knowledge and mighty they are. You better have some discernment, is what I'm telling you. And you better find out what God is saying. I'm not asking you to blindly follow me. I've never asked that. But I love you. I love you. And I know how appealing a false prophet can sound. I know the manipulative tactics that false prophets use. They'll try to buy you with money to make you think that they're good and they're righteous and holy. They'll try to endear you to themselves using a myriad of techniques. I asked you to evaluate my ministry to you over the last 8 years. Where have you been led? And what's it done in your life? I'm not saying I've been perfect at pastor every step of the way. I've made some grave mistakes. But I won't back down from saying this. Whenever I've stepped behind this pulpit, what you've heard, if you'll obey it, it'll bring life to you. It'll bring victory to you. It'll hold you together in the darkest hour of your life. Because I have not offered you Greg Browning. I have offered you in every teaching and in every sermon, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We can take the land, Crossway Community Church. And we must now begin to view ourselves as God views us. As a bastion of power with the right message to take to this world. And semantically and organizationally, we need to make some changes. And make no mistake about it, I feel I've heard from God on this. Those changes are going to be made. What I ask of you, many of you, on Wednesday night as pastor, I'm in it. I believe I heard from God. You've got to evaluate that now. And if you don't feel it's of God and you feel I've missed God, well, you've got some other decisions to make. But that's the direction this church is going. We're never going to change our message of Christ and Him crucified. That will never, never be changed. If that does, you come and you run me out of town on the rail and you jump and scream and tear your clothes and throw dust in the air and whatever you got to do. But don't miss out on a great, great blessing over foolishness. Because 7 million people believe the report of the 10, or 6,999,998 of them. And they all died in the wilderness. Do you get what I'm saying there? I'm not saying you have to follow me or follow this church. Please don't get that out of what I'm trying to say. I'm not suggesting that. But I am suggesting that if you don't follow wholeheartedly after God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, there's a very good chance you're going to miss out on a great blessing if God is speaking. That's what you must evaluate as an individual. But I've heard from heaven. Just like when I heard the message of the cross. And the Lord has told me, do what I tell you to do. And I'll give you a harvest like you've never seen. That's what I want. As much as I love you, gathering in this harvest means more to me than your petty feelings and your flesh. And if you're going to miss out on a great, great blessing over foolishness, all I can do as pastor is tell you I love you. And the door's wide open if you leave and you ever decide to come back. But we're going after God. We're going into the promised land, Crossway Community Church. We're going there. I don't know how many of you are going to go there with me. But the Lord's told me, as many as will believe, I'll take them to where I want them to go. I'll get you there. You may think, but we don't have this, we don't have that. We got God. We got the Holy Ghost. We got the right message that a lost and dying world needs to hear. And God wants to use every single one of you under the sound of my voice this morning to help gather in this harvest. We need, this church needs every single one of you to help gather in this harvest. But we're not going to be like some haphazard Pentecostal church any longer that lets everything go and turns its eye to everything. No, no. We're going to do some, what I'm preaching, it's so simple. I can't believe it's caused a stir in this church. It has. Matter of fact, let me tell you, let me just be frank with you. I love you to pieces, but it's really disappointed me in some of you. I thought you were spiritually a lot farther down the road than that, being in this message for 8 years. That you would let something as simple as a pastor asking you to put on a set of clothes that the church is going to pay for and to not talk for 20 minutes before you sing a song. It interrupts the flow of the Holy Ghost. If it's a gift of the Spirit, I reiterate, yes, we want that. But the Holy Ghost wants to use people as they minister. And our service is ordered and structured in the right way. And again, I'll say it. Some of you have been down to Baton Rouge with me. You've sat under the power of God. You've seen the order of service and how the Holy Ghost flows. Have you ever heard one singer down there stand up and go on for 20 minutes? I know, because Lawrence told me they don't allow it. And you've got that minister to thank. You've got the message of the cross, because that's where I got it from. You would have never heard it if it were not, maybe over TV you would have, but it would have never personally been delivered to you were it not for Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, because that's where I got it. And I look to Brother Swaggart as my spiritual father in the Lord, and I don't back down from that. So you got some choices to make. But we're well able to take the land. We're well able to take the land. And let me tell you, we're going to do it. I don't know how many of you are going to go with us. I want everybody to go. I want everybody to get blessed. But I'm here to tell you, we're going after God. And we're going to get the harvest He's got for this church. Give Jesus Christ a hand of praise. Would you stand to your feet? Praise the Lord. I got a lot more to say, but I feel the Lord telling me to shut up. You've said enough. Heavenly Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. Lord, I love this church. I love these people. And if they don't know by now what I'm all about and what my heart is, Lord, there's nothing more I can say to them. But Lord, I'm asking you, by the power of your Spirit, to speak to them and show them your will. I'm not asking you to show them my will. Lord, I asked you to give them a revelation of what you've called them to do and how there are souls sitting out there right now in bars, in hell holes, in homes that are evil, where evil is being done. And you're calling them to come to this church, and they need this message of deliverance. And we need the talent and the ability of everybody in this church to get it done. You've called everybody to be here. That's here right now. Lord, give them the greatest revelation they've ever known about specifically your work and your will in a specific situation. I'm speaking of what I know you're going to do in this church. The Holy Spirit's telling me, let me work. Let me work. Hita yarabaha sandari alamati alamasi. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Holy Ghost of God. This is your service. Hita yarabaha sandari alamahati alabahusei. Lord God, I know you're going to go before us. And we're well able to take the land. We're well able to gather the harvest with what we have right now because we have the right message. We have you, Lord Jesus. We have the power of your Spirit flowing through this church. And Lord, your Holy Spirit will not associate himself in any way with something that's not of God. Every time the Holy Spirit comes, he's saying to us, I approve of what's going on. And when he's not there, he's stating quite the opposite. I don't approve of what's going on. And I want to get us out of the way as much as possible to allow him to do his work. Because what he does will always be glorious and wonderful and mighty. Lord, I love your people. That's the only reason I do what I do. I've got no ulterior motive. Lord, if you set me down tomorrow and I never stood behind the pulpit again, I don't need attention. I don't need people looking to me as a spiritual guru. I don't want them to look to me, Lord. I want them to look to you. And Lord, I'm asking you to show them what you've shown me, Lord. I can't do it, but I know your Holy Spirit can. And Lord, I'm praying for every one of them that they'll see it. That they'll see like Joshua and Caleb. We're well able to take the land. Let us go up at once and possess it. And in the face of unbelief, Caleb stood and said, God's already given it to us. Let us go now. That's the message of the Holy Spirit right now. Go now. Go now. Go now. Oh, some of you might be saying, but you don't know about what this person's saying or doing that one. I don't care. I'm following Jesus. I don't care much of what man's doing. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Oh, hallelujah. Even if you don't believe what I preached this morning, if you hang around, you'll be blessed because of my faith in God. Because by faith, I'm obtaining the report of the Lord. You can believe the majority report if you want to. I'm believing the report of the Lord. And the report of the Lord says I'm victorious no matter what situation. The report of the Lord says we're well able to take the land. Let us go up at once and possess it. Hallelujah. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Lord God, I thank you for what you're doing right now. Because you're pouring faith, I know, and you're pouring vision into people's hearts. And that's what needs to happen. The more of us that'll believe you, the greater and with the rapidity it'll happen. As we stand before the Lord this morning with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm speaking to believers today, and I believe everybody here today, as far as I know, is a believer. And if you should not be, if you're not washed in the blood of Jesus, I know you've heard, everybody in this building's heard enough of the gospel to save themselves 1,000 times over. You know what to do. I'm speaking to believers. God's got a work for this church to do. And just like he told Israel, when they were crossing Jordan, he said, when you see the ark of God move, you remove from your place and you go after it. Removing from your place means change. It means changing your mind, changing your view. And you can choose this morning to look at this church from man's perspective if you want to. And you're going to be in unbelief and you're going to miss out on blessing. But if you'll choose to look at it through the eye of faith, and believe the report of the Lord, by faith the elders obtained a good report. You can believe God for the greatest harvest of souls and the greatest healings that's ever been seen before. My dear sister here who was saved last Sunday morning. Hallelujah. God bless you, ma'am. I don't believe I've ever had the opportunity to meet you, but I heard you gave your life to Jesus Christ last week. I know that's your mommy, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God drew you here. And you may not understand what I'm about to say. We believe that God can speak through people. And I believe He stopped me right now to give you a word from Him. To tell you that you keep believing Him and He's going to change everything for you. You keep believing in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in what Jesus did for you at the cross and keep it there. And the Holy Spirit's going to flow in your home and He's going to do wondrous things. He called you here to heal you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, get ready. She's one of many that are coming. Glory to God. Because we believe the report of the Lord. This week, Satan may have written their headline and held it up. I defeated them. I've shut down the message of the cross. Oh, glory! There's no defeat in Jesus. And Jesus is holding up another headline. And He's saying, I've got blessing and I've got harvest for them. And devil, you can't stop it as long as they'll believe me. Do you know you're the only one that can stop your harvest? Satan can't even do it. But if he draws you into unbelief and pettiness and foolishness, you'll miss out on it. You'll miss out on it. I got to hurry to a close. Only two men out of 7 million walked into the promised land. Now that tells me a whole lot. That tells me if you believe God, no matter what everybody else is saying, you'll get what He said you'll get. He'll heal your home. He'll heal your family. He'll give you a promotion on your job. He'll give you wonderful and blessed things if you'll believe Him. He's a good God. He's a good God. I'm not saying everything will always be perfect and rosy, but I'm saying every night of your life you lay your head on your pillow, you know everything's all right between me and Him. That He loves me. That He went to the cross for me. And that He's going to help me in every way. He has all power and authority. Oh, glory, I feel the Holy Ghost falling in wave after wave right now. He's changed some of your minds this morning. He told me He'd do it. He'd say, some are going to try and walk out. He said, I'm going to grab them. I ain't going to let them. I've called them there. I've got blessing for them. He said, you go and preach and let them call you mean old pastor if they want to. Let me tell you something. I don't know how many of you ever played high school football or played on a sports team. When that coach needed to make a correction in the direction your team or in something you were doing, did they come up to you and say, now, I don't like the way you're kicking that ball. Would you please kindly take your foot back? Now, please don't get offended. I'm not trying to hurt you. Would you take your foot back and kick it like this rather than kicking it sideways? And I'll be so happy. Would you please do that? Would you please, please, pretty please. Oh, please don't get mad at me. I'm sorry. Please do it. No! The coach of that football team walked up to you and said, hey, harebrain, kick the ball the right way. Because believe it or not, as hard as it may be for some to believe that God would speak to a harebrained like me, He does. And I happen to be your pastor right now. And that's all I've done spiritually to this church this week, and I am so glad I did it because we needed it. I needed it. He kicked me first. If it makes you feel any better, He kicked me first. And I, in turn, had to come and kick you guys. Think. Was anything that was said this week a sin? I'm not down on you for letting Satan get your flesh riled up, because he does that to all of us every now and then. Especially when God's getting ready to do something big. Praise God. Give Him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to see a move of God. That's what drives everything I've ever done as pastor since I've been in it. And now we're standing on the edge, church. Oh, God, hear me this morning. Judge what I'm telling you. I believe the Lord is telling me you're on the edge of going in. You're on the edge of going in. Will you believe me? Will you believe me? In spite of how weak and feeble you may look in the flesh as a church, will you believe me to put my anointing on people and have them sing and preach and teach and minister with the power of Almighty God? And my answer is yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let us go up at once and possess the land. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. No need for an altar call. I preached the altar call. Get ready, church. We're going in. We're going in. We're going in. Yes, he is. We're going in. You're going to see lives changed. You're going to see lives changed. This dear sister back here, she came in last week bound by sin. And I know some of a little bit of her situation. I've heard through other people. But now Jesus and the power of the God is in your home, sister. The Lord keeps pressing me to remind you of that. You call on him in your dark hours. The Bible says he's a friend that sits closer than a brother. You may not understand theologically everything. You don't have to. When you go out there and start your car, you don't understand everything about that engine, do you? But you put your faith in Jesus Christ. The power of God in the form of the Holy Spirit is in your heart now and in your home. Hallelujah. He's going to help you. He's going to make the changes. You just believe him. He'll make the changes. Others of you need to believe the same way. Hallelujah. The power of God is moving mightily today. Let's go in, church. Let's not believe the majority report. Let's believe the minority report. Amen? That says we're going in. We're well able to take the land. Let us go up at once and possess it. Hallelujah. 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 Dennis, would you come dismiss us in prayer? This Wednesday night, we're going to start. I hope if you'll fill out the sheets, I'll come up with something to teach. But I really want to know what you want taught on. Good example this week. If you would say, Pastor, teach on what quenching the Spirit means. Put that down on that sheet. We'll teach it. Okay? Because I don't know everything. I'm not proclaiming that, but the Word of God does. And we operate not by a book of minutes in this church, but by the Word of Almighty God. That's our handbook. That's our handbook. Everything's in there on how to run a church. And former denominations and churches you've been in, they might have had a man's book that's called a book of minutes. Now, here's what we operate by. That's the problem. That's the problem. You can't operate God's house in man's way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give him another hand of praise. Brother Dennis, pray for us.